This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Last Monday night, there was a very controversial Four Corners piece on human trafficking, which shocked many Australians. Jenny Stanger is the Salvation Army's Trafficking Safe House Supervisor. She's also a co-founder of the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking in Los Angeles. And she's been a case manager and advocate for survivors of human trafficking since 1998. She's now a member of the Australian Government's National Roundtable on People Trafficking, so she's somewhat of an expert on the issue. Thanks for your time today, Jenny.
Thank you.
How did you first become aware of the issue of modern-day trafficking and slavery?
Well, it really started for me back in 1997 when we had a horrific case of 72 Thai garment workers working in a very prison-like situation in my local community in Los Angeles. They had been held for up to 7 years making clothing for local retailers behind barbed wire, under armed guard. It was quite a stark and brutal situation where the workers hadn't been paid and were under threat of violence.
Wow. So they were people working, I guess, in very basic sort of manufacturing, making clothing. Is that typical of the kind of people who would be victims of trafficking in the US, or who does it normally affect?
Look, trafficking happens across a whole range of industries. It happens across a whole range of scenarios, including women trafficked through marriage. Can happen in agriculture, construction, the natural resources industry, retail, hospitality, bakeries, nail salons. You know, if you start to broaden your thinking beyond our stereotypes about trafficking into the sex industry, when you really broaden your thinking and think about exploitation of people, then I think the whole scenario and the whole spectrum of trafficking becomes quite broad.
Is the situation in Australia different, though, to what you encountered in the U.S.?
Not really. I think what's different here is the lack of awareness around the issue and the lack of frontline service personnel really being given the tools and training that they need to be able to effectively identify and respond to people trafficking. So, you know, those different industries in Australia that I just mentioned, we have exploitation in those industries, you know, in addition to the sex industry where we know we also have exploitation. What we've had historically in this country is a spotlight and a focus of resources and energy on the sex industry. We haven't seen that same focus of resources and energy and awareness raising outside of the sex industry. So we're really glad to hear that as of yesterday, the government has announced some new initiatives to create that awareness. And in my experience, you find what you're looking for. So I believe once there is a concerted effort to target other industries, we'll see a lot more trafficked people coming from those different sectors.
So what practically needs to be done to address this issue, Jenny, because it's people who probably aren't that informed about it, it seems like a very difficult issue to address. But you've obviously had experience in dealing with this. So what are the steps that need to happen?
Well, Australia does have quite a robust response to people trafficking, probably one of the more highly developed responses in the world. So we have changed our criminal laws. We do have protection and support available for victims who cooperate as witnesses. What I think we really need to develop is our local community response and our state level response, and to really engage the broader community, the general public, in organizing to stop trafficking, and to also create safe spaces in our communities where trafficked people who are rebuilding their lives can be accepted and be supported.
I mean, that's one of the things that you're actually doing. You run a safe house for trafficked women. Why is that so crucial?
When people leave their slavery situation, they are often in a state of crisis in terms of their mental health. Obviously, they need a place to live. They're often in need of emergency medical assistance, and they have very important decisions to make, legal decisions about what they're going to do in their future, because they may have the opportunity to take steps to work with the police, to take action in the criminal justice realm against their trafficker. But they may also have civil remedies available to them. And obviously, immigration issues are quite complicated.
So they need a lot of support, basically.
They do, and they need a place where they can just decompress and get in touch with their family members and just get reconnected to really their freedom.
It sounds like quite a long process, really, to recovery, I think, after you've been through something like that.
It is. And the average stay in our service is about a year, and many clients end up staying for more than a year. We also have a non-residential program. We're currently providing services to 15 people outside of the service. So that's men, women, and young people. So we have 10 beds in the service, but we're currently working with 25 clients. So we're definitely at capacity, and we've got more referrals coming every day.
Tell us about the Survivor Advocacy Project that you're about to launch in Canberra.
Yeah, so the Survivor Advocacy Project actually was launched last Wednesday, and the Survivor Advocates have decided they want to be called the Freedom Advocates. So the Freedom Advocates are, we have some clients who have indicated to us over time that they have a strong desire to be a part of the solution, and they want to be consulted about what policies and programs would best serve people like them, and they've indicated that they want to help other people. So it's quite a brave, bold, admirable, and remarkable ideal, I think, that they have to help others.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you have a fundraising bike ride that's coming up to sort of raise awareness and funds for this project. Do you want to tell us how people can get involved in that?
Yeah, so the Freedom Advocates are basically being supported by an organization called Project Futures. So we have Salvation Army has a partnership with Project Futures. And what Project Futures has done is they've organized a bike ride from Sydney to Canberra, a 3-day or a 6-day ride. People can go on to projectfutures.com to find out more about it. And the funds raised from that project are going to fund the Freedom Advocates to do their very, very important work at the National Roundtable in the community, possibly with the media and with other policy and decision-making organizations. So we really want to encourage people, if they can't do the ride, please get onto the Project Futures website and support some of the riders. Yeah. All the funds will go directly to supporting that project.
Well, thanks for letting us know about it, Jen. It sounds like we in Australia are very fortunate to have someone of your experience and resources coming here to help us to deal with this problem, because obviously you would have learned a lot in your time in LA, and yeah, we just appreciate your hard work here as well.
Thanks. I think what we know at this point is really the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for filling us in a little bit. That's Jenny Stanger. She is the supervisor of the Salvation Army Safe House for Trafficked Women. If you want to find out more about the bike ride or the Survivor Advocacy, or the Freedom Advocates, sorry, as they're now called, it's projectfutures.com is the website, projectfutures.com.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.